This is CliffCentral.com.
Martin Garrix, David Guetta, and So Far Away. Well, it feels like years ago. It was 2010 when we put out the Stomach In, Chest Out song. You remember with DJ XS, Mubs?
Wow.
We even put out a CD.
We are musicians. Well,
no, well, we didn't get any. We put it on the album, but I don't know if we got credit.
Sorry, we're not musicians, but no. We are affiliated
Hell
with...
Hell no. You remember this. Let's remind ourselves. The new Minister of Police, Becky Kele.
Oh.
Got some things to say, and you remember his speeches. People must just...
envy your body.
That's exactly what he said. Take a listen.
I have seen police officers in the countries as they walk straight, stomach in, chest out. Not a stomach out, chest in. So that's how officers must look. People must just envy your body as you walk. Either you're a girl or you're a boy. They must say, you must be kind of a product. Not you.
You remember this. This was some good stuff. So welcome back to the cabinet, Becky Kele. All right.
Kind of a product.
I like this.
Not a howl.
All right, it's time for us to get into some news.
Okay, so apparently this plane, this Boeing 737 is
now...
Did you
hear about this, Ben?
Yeah,
Jesus. Did anyone have to go to Four Ways today?
Yeah. It is apparently on the move, and the warning that was given yesterday was that we should anticipate traffic delays between 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. today as it heads to Four Ways.
The whole day?
Well...
these guys have got to get their shit together. That's not on.
Jet Park, Isando, Klerkop, Midrand, Danefern, and Four Ways routes in those areas will be affected. The fuselage, wings, and tail section of the plane are apparently going to be transported separately from the
main thing's the fuselage, right?
Yeah.
And the wings, they're going to cut those off and reattach them on the other side.
The wings and the tail will be done separately.
I don't know why they have to do this.
A lot of people were saying, why can't they do this over the weekend?
Right.
Why must it happen on a Tuesday?
Yes.
During peak hour traffic.
Yes, you people. Whoever decided to do this.
All to go into a Mexican restaurant.
Well, it's...
It's
called Kidzania, which is launching in the country, Ben.
If you've chosen to live in Four Ways, the next 5 years of your life are going to be hell. Eventually, you'll then be able to go to these malls that they're making.
But the funny thing about this is that they're transporting this to a mall where there's heavy construction underway still. They're still rebuilding and rebuilding. The Four Ways Mall is...
I had to drive through yesterday.
What happens at Four Ways Mall? I haven't been there for ages.
Gareth, there's 27 cranes there right now.
Really?
It's a mess.
Like, it's... Oh. We'll put it this way. Some people are going to allow... Like, Four Ways, it's going to be like traffic incest because it'll be traffic in traffic.
No.
Whereas in the past, it used to be from there to Sandton. A lot of Four Ways people are now going to be able to work in Four Ways.
Yeah. Also, there have been a ton of roadworks. So, yeah. Witkoppen Road has been affected. Cedar Road heading towards the Broad Acres area. That used to be a nightmare at some stage. There's a lot happening in Four Ways. And now add this, a whole plane going there.
But that name, Four Ways. Could they not... when they started off, it's like, this area won't be much. There's we go in different... Yeah. Let's just call it Four Ways. Imagine it was called Three Ways.
Well, the road went Four Ways. I remember what Four Ways used to look like before those malls came up. There were gum trees. Yeah. It was a four-way stop.
Sure, but where else do you know someone is called a direction, essentially? Like, how little was the ambition of this place? Or was the hope in it becoming something?
Well, tomorrow, Four Ways. tomorrow Gord comes in, and I know he's still in contact with, what was the guy from Four Ways?
Hard Eddie.
He still speaks the Hard. So, I mean, Hard Eddie knows everything there is to know about Four Ways. Maybe he has some intel on why the place was called Four Ways and why they couldn't come up with something better.
Maybe he can explain it.
Yeah.
Or get Hard Eddie to.
Okay, Let's ask him.
I'm looking at pictures on Twitter of this thing.
Mm.
Yes.
What?
Of the plane.
Have you seen pictures? I expect it to be bigger.
Have you seen pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
I'm sure people are going to be snapping away as they drive past this thing.
Wow. That is a big ass plane.
But it's
going to take up a lot of space.
It's like a 15 meter truck.
All right.
Okay. All right. A bit of crime news then, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Because Jason Roeder is back in court today.
Oh, that's the spear killer.
Oh, you know what?
What?
Cassandra in Cape Town says, oh my God, you won't believe it. I was picking up a friend in Sea Point last night and I ran into Roeder, the accused murderer, just standing there. I thought he was too mentally ill to be in court. Remember? Because he's claiming that now.
Yes, they...
Sea Point's where it's happening, man. Presidents running on the promenade, accused murderers.
Well, earlier this month, the judge had issued a warrant of arrest after Roeder had failed to turn up for the second day in a row. And according to reports, he was re-arrested at the hospital where he is supposedly being treated.
Hmm.
So today he's going to be back in court. Wow. Remember, he's accused of murdering his wife, Susan, in their hotel room at the Spear Hotel just outside Stellenbosch in July last year. Of course, he has denied killing her, claiming that she hanged herself from the bathroom door. The state saying, no, you strangled her.
Jeez, what a horrible situation that is, too. You know, I'm glad that we have these high-profile murder situations and that we pay attention to them. I mean, we've got Henry von Bredaar, we had Oscar Pistorius, Hope Zinde's son, and now Jason Roeder. I mean, at least people are onto these guys, you know? And at least they're the exception, not the rule. It's not like there's so many of them happening that we can't investigate.
True, like we have these trials. We haven't had any great verdicts, though. I mean, Oscar's only been the real result.
Ben, some of these things take a long time.
Yeah, we have to wait for, sentencing with Henry?
And then
Henry?
Appeals.
And then appeals.
Do you think Henry's got appeal money, though? Because you only appeal if you got money.
Well, Henry, unfortunately for him, he didn't have an uncle on his side swooping in to defend him or to speak highly of him.
Maybe that's why they're on a break now, because he's trying to find an Afrikaans uncle.
Yeah. You
got to have your Afrikaans uncle.
Because basically the judge goes, you have 30 days to appeal or find an Afrikaans uncle.
That's why Hope Zinde's son's fucked.
Yeah.
No Afrikaans uncle.
Fucked.
Yeah.
Big problem. All right. So Jason Roeder, be careful. He's on the loose in Cape Town.
Jeez. What do you do in a situation
Cassandra
like
tells
that?
Him? What, when you run into him, you just like you pretend you don't know the guy. I'm not going to say hi.
Do you cross the street quicker than what you were anticipating? Or do
it's not like he's going to shoot you.
No, I know. But I mean, do you stop and stare? I wonder, what do you do?
I would stop and stare. Wouldn't you?
Humans are so silly. I would also probably stop and stare. Somebody would probably take their phone out and start filming him.
Yeah.
Hope
put
to
it on the internet.
Get a viral video.
Apparently, Mandy Wiener wrote a brilliant article on Didi Mabuza last year after the ANC elective conference. So I'll go and read that. I missed that. And then Michelle says, you can now begin the investigation into Fikile and the Dubai trip. Yeah. Yeah, there's lots we can do now that some people are out of the cabinet.
And you know what? He'll sing for anything. All he wants is like a new daddy, a hug, a friend,
a retweet. Yeah, he'll turn quick. It's a disaster. All right. Let's move on.
Okay. Okay. So news out of Kensington Palace, because apparently staff members are on edge.
Yes, there was an anthrax scare, wasn't there?
There was a powder scare. I mean, as far as I remember reading, it's a harmless powder, but I guess somebody has enough time to do this. But in any case, the palace has now increased security measures after a racist letter laced with a white powder was sent to Prince Harry and poor Meghan Markle. They're tying the knot on the 19th of May. So according to a source within the palace, he says, well, the staff are now tasked with opening all the letters that they're receiving.
Those poor staff, what did they ever do wrong?
I know, shame. They have been given goggles and protective face masks, as anthrax and other substances can kill if they are inhaled. Staff are kind of joking about the whole thing and how it feels like they're on some movie set.
Poor staff. Still, nothing's changed for them. They used to make them test the food. Like Queen Cleopatra back in the day in ancient Egypt used to have a royal taster who would chew on everything that she had to eat first.
Mm.
In other words, he'd test the dish before she started. And they'd wait. They'd check him out. If he didn't die, then she'd start eating. I mean, what a thing to do to someone else. Another person is just basically a lab rat for you.
Well, I mean, who can forget all the highs and lows that the staff at on Downton Abbey, I mean, they had to go through some things, didn't they?
You know what? Nothing's changed for those people. You work for the royal family in England, you're in trouble.
So these guys are apparently having to wear gloves and goggles because, you know, that's the least that the palace can do for them. But yes, this letter was sent to Meghan on the 12th of this month. It is still being investigated by detectives. Scotland Yard are treating the package as a race hate attack.
Oh, really?
But nobody wants to tell us what the letter said.
Yeah, we want to know what kind of racism it was because we've heard it all. We want to hear there may be some new racism. We haven't heard of yet. We'd like some fresh racism, please.
Yeah, well.
Look, guys, it's probably a ginger joke.
Oh, you think?
No, because this one is aimed at Meghan.
Yeah, that's what they say to get the headlines. It's probably just another ginger joke. It's probably
true. But, I mean, Harry has handled those his whole life.
But now it's like he's about to become married. He's not going to take it. He's going to take a lot more seriously.
Also, no one can believe that a ginger guy would get married.
Or maybe
someone would want to marry him.
Maybe it was an advert for like a chocolate orange from Terry's, and it was purely just an ad, but now it's been taken out of context. Someone sent him a chocolate orange.
But why add the powder, though, for dramatic effect? I mean, this person, whoever this person is an idiot.
Well, that just could have been negligence. Somebody was doing a line of coke. That's what they like to do before they send gifts.
Harry, maybe, you know, maybe it's coke for Harry, and they're trying to disguise that. Have you thought about the possibility that it was coke that Harry's supplier was sending him?
Well,
and they were like, oh, shit, there's anthrax. Meanwhile, Harry's like, oh, God, don't tell anyone, shut up. Because they're going to test it now. They're going to find out it's coke. And Harry's going to be like, oh, damn, bust, rumbled again.
I suppose that would be the closest powder to what anthrax would look like is a bit of cocaine, right?
Yeah. Would look the same. And to the untrained eye, that's why I'm saying. This Harry, we know he's naughty. He's done bad things in his life. We know what he's been up to. And I reckon his coke supplier sent him this stuff without warning him first. So he's like, oh, open all the mail. And then someone started opening the mail and found this coke. And I'm telling you, it's ruined the bachelor's party. It was meant to be a large consignment for the bachelor's party.
Oh, don't worry. Philip's always got that emergency stash. When needed.
You reckon, Ben?
Philip's got about a kilogram of sniff at any given stage in his old travel luggage.
Yeah, I can see it too.
All right.
That's why the corgis aren't allowed in the bedroom anymore.
Sure. Because
they go and snort the coke?
Hey, I watch The Crown. I know what's going on.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Meghan Markle, then who's going to be racist with her? She's very, very light-skinned. You can hardly tell she's black. I mean, if for a racist, they'd have to go into her ancestry to figure it out, right? I mean, is her father is black? What is it? Or is it her mom?
No, I think... Okay, God, let's do...
Because it's really hard
Google
to tell.
Search,
I didn't know when I started watching Suits she was black. Did you? Be honest.
No,
yeah,
I
because
mean,
her dad was black.
Yes, on the show.
In the show. But I didn't recognize...
That wasn't her real dad?
No, of course not.
No, but you know that she's biracial.
Yes, but that's...
But you know, in America, they call themselves black even if they have two different race parents. Like, they don't do the whole biracial thing.
Right. Aren't most of us in this country a little bit biracial? Even the whites and the blacks. I'm telling you. Everybody's got a little bit of something in them. A little bit of something, something. That's why I don't know that she... How could a racist target her? You know? If they if they're racist, they should be going for someone who's very white or very black.
No, but Gareth, this is England.
Yeah, this is England.
Everyone's very white. Have you seen those pictures of Ed Sheeran on the deck of that boat?
I don't want to see them. It's okay.
He looks like he's been bleached.
Shame.
He looks like he was dipped in bleach. The guy's so white. He reflects light. Oh, I mean, that's white on a whole new level. I look like Meghan Markle compared to him.
It's her mother who's black.
Mother. Okay. Well, I mean, still, I don't know that. I think it's Ben's on the money here. It's a ginger racist incident. And it wasn't really. That was the disguise for the cocaine. We've got a whole theory this show. We've been figuring out. We've been sitting. All of us, we actually called each other last night at 9 o'clock to discuss, to gossip a little bit about what we thought this might be. If you're wondering how we have such an elaborate theory, we worked it out yesterday. What else do we have?
Well, some people are excited about the fact that the creators of Comic-Con New York,
oh yeah,
Reed Pop, are bringing their annual convention to South Africa.
Well, do you like these conventions? What do they call them?
Yes, conventions.
You like this stuff?
I don't know anything about Comic-Con.
All right, let me tell you, this is weird. I haven't been to Comic-Con, but I've heard from people who have. People dress up as their favorite superheroes and cartoon characters, and you know, this is where you get all those what they call cosplay people.
Mm.
Now, cosplay is short for costume play, and they dress up like their favorite movie or TV show or cartoon characters.
I thought cosplay was when you give drugs to a young woman behind on a
no,
TV
set.
No, that's
cosplay play.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this attracts some very strange people. They're going to bring it here?
They're saying they're bringing it to South Africa. Gamers, comic book lovers, cosplayers will be gathering at Kyalami Grand Prix Circuit, an international convention center, for 2 days.
But guys, all you need to do is just have like one Game of Thrones outfit and people will be there in their droves.
Oh God, all the Khaleesis are going to come out.
And that's right, dress as Khaleesi.
The Spocks from Star Trek.
Yep.
And they're
the Darth Vaders.
Definitely going to be ugly.
People from the East Rand are going to come out as orcs.
Orcs.
And they don't really need to dress up then if that's the case. So.
Wow, that's something. So Comic-Con's coming to South Africa.
Look, people in the comic book world, they love this stuff. So there's definitely a market for it.
Oh, some people dedicate their lives to trying to look like their favorite character. They'll go for plastic surgery. They'll actually buy these very, very extravagant outfits. They'll sometimes have them made themselves. They'll have their hair grown or dyed. No, they will. They'll go the full hog. I think it'll be interesting to go and watch. We should send a team out there to investigate when it happens.
Also, I'm sure South Africans will get excited about some of the big names that they will be bringing out when they launch.
Oh yeah, because what they do is they bring out like the stars of these various shows and these movies, and then they do autograph signings and photographs and all that stuff, so you can actually meet the celebrities that played these roles.
Yes, yeah, so rumor has it a couple of the Game of Thrones stars will actually be here.
Say? But who would you like to
meet? But it'll be like, it was not going to be Jon Snow.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's going to be like...
It's going to be the shitty people.
It's never the main stars.
It's going to be one of the Unsullied.
It'll be the Red Woman. We just use...
best.
You know what? We'll send that lady who used to be on the Fashion Lab with Liz.
She was the Red Woman.
She's the Red Woman. We'll send her.
It's funny how when her role got like bigger in Game of Thrones, she wasn't on that podcast anymore.
That's right. She left the Fashion Lab podcast because she was too big.
Look, they'll probably send that fat one, Sam Ganji guy, whatever his name is, Samwise.
No, that's from
Lord of the Rings.
What's wrong with you?
No, but like there's a fat one who in Game of Thrones too.
Yes, man, I know which one.
He's not fat. Are you talking about Podrick?
No, he's like Alan Ford. He's the Alan Ford of
Game of Thrones. The one who's studying to be a maester.
Ah.
And he killed a White Walker once because that White Walker fell on his sword. He'll come out. And everyone will be like, Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, They never bring up the main stars.
Oh, well, stop being so negative, you two. Negative Nancys.
I mean, look, if we
what
get...
What if they bring Kit Harington and the Khaleesi?
They would. If we get the Hound, we'll have done well.
Ooh.
Can you imagine? Hound.
I'd like to meet him.
I would also like to meet the Hound.
Let's bring out the guy who plays Gregor Clegane, that monstrous, huge human being. Jesus, I'd go to see him.
Yeah, of course you would.
I'd go just to take a picture next to him so I could feel really, really small.
We might get the Hound and then that ginger wildling. That's introducing the ginger wildling. Everyone's going to be like, yes, something.
All right. Hey, speaking of celebrities, Jen Hsu was at New York Fashion Week. And she interviewed Nandi Madida, who is a South African designer. She's got a clothing label called Color, and they made their debut at New York Fashion Week. Jen was there to interview her. Fantastic reception and acclaim, apparently, for her collection. And Nandi was the most prominent South African designer to be showcased at New York Fashion Week this season. And with her collection themed around women empowerment, Time's Up, and inspired by the Rainbow Nation under Nelson Mandela, with Madiba's centenary this past weekend, it may have some relevance for many of us. So take a listen to this. This is Jen Hsu talking to Nandi Madida. Listen.
Well, here we are backstage with Nandi Madida. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's so good to see you.
I know.
It's like a full circle. This is really cool.
Seriously, it's great. The last time we did a photo shoot on the roof of Hyde Park.
Yeah, and now we're at the roof in the middle of New York City. How insane is that?
Yeah. And this is your first debut for New York Fashion Week, the Color label. Tell me so much about it.
That is so exciting. I think the main thing is when I had the dream of actually launching the label 2 years ago, I launched it with the BET Awards when I was hosting, and that did incredibly well, just because we got an international, you know, customers who loved what we were doing, and because of that, I think people have recognized what we do. So we've just been so lucky because we're just representing the continent, which is so important. That's our narrative, and the fact that people love that, you know, is amazing. Yeah,
phenomenal. What can we expect in this collection?
Oh, so now fall winter is always a bit tricky. I mean, we have winter; it gets really cold, as you know, but not as cold as New York City. Absolutely. So my take was to rather represent an African sunset. So of course, we're talking about bespoke power suits. That would be looking for a woman like yourself who's smart. She knows who she is. You know, she's a woman of color, and so we tapped into an African sunset. So you can see, you know, the range starts with really light tones, all rich, and then goes literally to black because that's how an African sunset is. It's beautiful. It's divine, and that's our take on fall winter. So it's incredible. All bespoke suits or takes on bespoke suits, but also we're representing KZN hard. The collaboration rather with KZN Tourism and myself was incredible because I'm from KZN.
Yay.
So I'm representing that, yeah, with the beading, which is incredible. You know, the women on the side of the beach who do that. So we got a mama to do that, and that was incredible. So we've incorporated all those aesthetics too. Yeah.
Now, how do you do all of this and being a mom, a wife? Is Zakes here, by the way? Zakes Bantwini?
He couldn't make it. He's in Tanzania, then he goes to London. He's also jet-setting everywhere. But how you do it, you just take on every day as it comes. And I think that's how everyone should approach life. Of course, you plan. But you can only...
And who's looking after a little baby?
The grandparents. And they love it. My mom is, like, ecstatic. Because, you know, she's got empty nest syndrome. Yeah. So she... Anytime he gets there, it's amazing. But usually he actually does travel with us. But I knew it was going to be a bit too cold. So, next time. For September, he'll come. Spring, summer.
He'll be modeling on the catwalk.
Oh, yeah. He'll do the catwalk with me. Yeah, when we bow. Yeah.
Nandi Madida, congratulations. I'm so looking forward to seeing the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Jen Hsu.
All right. How's that, huh? Our Jen Hsu still getting out there.
Yeah, Jen Hsu, gosh, you never know where she's going to be, and she's everywhere in the world.
Damn right.
But you know who also was spotted at Fashion Week was the Queen. And
what? The Queen was at Fashion Week?
Yeah, and she was sitting next to Anna Wintour, and some people were very offended that Anna Wintour did not remove her shades. in speaking with the Queen.
Let me tell you something.
It was,
Anna Wintour doesn't take off her shades for anyone.
It was outrageous. People were calling her all sorts of things, saying she's disrespectful.
Anna Wintour doesn't give a shit about you. She gives less of a shit than the Queen.
It was the biggest scandal in fashion this season.
I mean, who's more powerful, actually? Because if you think about the power that Anna Wintour has over women's fashion, she is the supremo, right? I mean, this is a woman who, I joke sometimes, one small click of her fingers and she can raise hemlines so high the world is your gynecologist.
She's powerful.
That Anna Wintour, you don't want to mess with her.
Yeah.
You know, the Queen was even intimidated.
But what was the Queen going to wear? Was she going there for some more square-toed blue brogues or new handbags?
I don't know. I think maybe they've just gotten a new PR team for the Queen and somebody thought, you know what would be good?
Let's get her with Anna Wintour.
Let's get the Queen to attend Fashion Week this year.
Well, maybe the Queen was also checking out some outfits. She's got to dress up for Harry and Meghan's wedding, right?
Sure.
So maybe she's just looking for something to wear. I heard such a great story once that the Queen went to a dress designer to go and collect some outfits. And the dress designer showed her something that she thought was, like, vulgar. So, you know, there's this euphemistic kind of language that they use sometimes because she doesn't want to offend anyone. So pretty much the smartest event you could ever be invited to is an event where the Queen is there, like a ball or a banquet or something like that, right? So she looks at this dress designer and she says, "What a beautiful dress. What a pity I haven't got anywhere grand enough to wear it to." You know? It's almost like saying to the woman, "That's so smart, even I can't find a place that's smart enough to wear it." But actually what she's saying is it's a piece of shit.
It's very patronizing.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that patronizing? What's going on there, Ben? You got some rave music in the background?
It's me?
It's you.
Annoying.
It's definitely you. You are annoying sometimes. So glad you pointed that out.
So now, you know how ANN7 are basically running on a clock?
Oh.
And reportedly, 60 parties have so far thrown in their hat into the ring to register their own interests as bidders to replace ANN7 because MultiChoice said, "Hey, everyone, we're looking for a new news channel."
Hey, you know what?
60 bids that they've received.
Tell you what, that ANN7's got some pretty good premises, and they've got a very nice studio. You've been there before, Ben.
No, I never cracked the nut for that place.
Babs, you've been there?
No.
Oh, I'll tell you then.
It's just you, Gareth.
All right. I went there for an interview once, the only time I went there, and what was it about? Like the South African of the Year or something. And they've got some incredible facilities. I mean, we're talking world class. I've been to CNN. I've seen what CNN have got. I think ANN7 probably had better studios than CNN.
Hmm.
I was talking to someone the other day about it. So what they have is this huge floor where they do all their news programming and some of their other programs. They've got great sets and great lighting and very expensive cameras. So they really did stock the thing up and kit it out properly. It's a proper operation. And if you ever watched ANN7, from a production value point of view, you really couldn't fault them. It was the presentation that was lacking and the content, right? I mean, if you ever watched it, maybe you turned it on for 5 minutes, but the production was of a standard of, you know, your internationals, your Sky News, your BBC, your CNN. It really looked that good. So they've got all this equipment. I don't know. Maybe there's something in it. Maybe someone should buy all of that and start their own alternative news channel.
Well, MultiChoice are still receiving bids. They're still open until the 20th of April. And they're saying that, you know, all parties who registered will receive a link to respond to a request for proposal on an online platform. That closes on the 30th of April. But yes, so far, MultiChoice saying they've received all kinds of bids.
Hmm.
Yeah, somebody's going to take over from Mzwanele.
Okay.
Shame. You must call him that.
But why doesn't he, if he owns all this stuff, because I'm sure that with that massive investment that he made from his own money, he would have taken those premises up, all the equipment, all that sort of stuff. Why doesn't he just lease it to people?
Because he never owned any of it, Ben.
It's not his. I mean, if they sell the whole thing foot stewards, it's just going to go to pay debt. I don't think he paid. Well, remember, he was going on about how he started the first, not because he was buying it over, or the Guptas had put him in charge or something. I mean, it was just such nonsense. There are a couple of people who have absolutely zero credibility at the moment, and they're all the people who caused shit for me and who were involved in that Bell Pottinger thing. And I'm so glad to see them all fall on their backsides, because when I was in trouble, these guys were sticking the knife in. People like Boom Bindwane, who was Figile's advisor in the police ministry. He's out on his ass, guaranteed. I mean, who would want to hire him? Jimmy Manyi. These are not good people. And Jimmy has no credibility. He's got about as much credibility as the least credible person in South Africa. Who is?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Who's the least credible person? If they open their mouth to talk, you just know it's going to be lies.
Sure.
And nonsense. Come on. I know it's a tough, it's a bun
fight.
There's
about 1,000 people here, Gareth.
Just whittle it down, Ben. I know you can work this out. Mubs, you could work this out. You watch the news. You pay attention to what's going on in the news.
I think that's a very personal decision.
Try and be objective.
Difficult to do in this country.
Who has talked the most shit?
Well, the ANC spokesperson.
And has the least credibility. No. Come on. It's Andile Mqhitana. Obviously.
I mean, this guy's. I try to put my mind that low.
He went so far as to say that the Guptas are doing more for black economic empowerment and radical economic transformation than anyone else. He went that far. Now we know he was talking shit because he was being paid by them. So no credibility. Someone like that, that's what I'm talking about, right? So anyway, I would like to see ANN7's equipment and studios bought by somebody who really wants to put together a slick news operation. There's an opportunity there. Get some good presenters, get some credible journalists, and there are a lot of those in South Africa, and put a news service together that can compete. ENCA need the competition. My God, you watch them, they're just coasting. So they need the competition. And there isn't enough independent journalism. The more the merrier. Bring someone else on. Give them an opportunity to run this thing. I don't know why MultiChoice have to run the bidding process like they're in charge. Basically, they're just going to broadcast it. But we need someone who can get out there and do some news. So let's see what happens. Right. Okay. I really think Ben would have made an excellent criminal lawyer. I mean, the speed at which he comes up with the possible explanations of things is amazing. Like the line of coke.
Thanks.
Look at you, Ben. Yeah. Getting some praise there from somebody on WhatsApp. And you can WhatsApp us on 0797482090. Someone else saying there was a time when it was considered scandalous to marry a person from continental Europe. My mom's aunt married an Italian, and it was not well received by the older folk back then. We've come a long way. Now, of course, Harry is marrying a girl from America, which is bad enough. Remember, they made the Duke of Windsor abdicate because he was marrying a divorcee from America. Her only crime was that she'd been married before. And she was divorced. That was the crime. It wasn't adulterous. She had been divorced. And she was in love with the Prince of Wales at the time. And she couldn't marry him. He couldn't marry her. He had to abdicate as king.
Sure.
And she wasn't biracial or, you know, underage or that stuff. There was no real controversy. So I think we've come a long way. I think the royal family's come a long way. Meghan Markle, and she's way hotter than just about anyone in that royal family, to the power of 200.
This is absolutely true.
That's good, for those kids are going to turn out much prettier.
Ooh, although
the ginger.
See Harry's genes.
Oh, let's stop with the racism.
No, it's not a... guys.
So do you know that...
I'm with my belly on this
one. Do you know that redheads are more susceptible to mental illness?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of all the abuse from people like you, Gareth.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's rich coming from you, Mister. I once declared on the show that I will stop attacking gingers.
Yeah, I at least made it stand. Look at you guys, still with your ginger bar.
Excuse me, I'm the one who's always asked. I was even confused about the term ginger itself. Yeah. I've always asked, is that derogatory? And then you explained to me that it is.
But you didn't make a stand, did you?
What?
She doesn't have a dog in this fight. My Mabale's never. You never dated a redhead or a ginger.
Mm-mm. Why not? See,
because she's not into them.
Yeah. What's wrong with them?
I slept with one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. All right. You really have been. You have tried. You've sampled.
I've sampled every flavor that exists. Mm. You must.
But the gingers get a hard time,
right? Good for you. I just got to say, on record, if we have anybody who has any questions, Mabale has sampled pretty much the whole variety.
You can ask me anything.
Because people, like, generally, ginger hatred is the last socially acceptable prejudice out there, right? So now there's a lot of links.
Hatred.
There's a lot of links between mental illness and gingers because they get bullied all day. If you're a ginger in TV, you're overly sexualized.
What?
Hugely so.
What? But
only as a woman, though.
As a woman, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a ginger in TV, you're a woman, you're overly sexualized. If you're a man in TV or movies, you're seen as this problematic bully or just fiery, you know, kind of...
They give you a shitty job.
Unpredictable kind of person. It's never like a leading man who's a ginger. No. You never see... Like, why people go on about being a black James Bond. Why not a ginger Bond if you really want to make it happen? Prince Harry...
Step too far.
Prince Harry, exactly. Prince Harry admitted that about 10 years ago, he had to seek counseling because people bullied him for being a ginger.
Prince Harry?
Even Prince Harry. So no ginger is safe, Gareth.
Well, apparently Meghan Markle's also divorced, so...
Yes, but...
Don't have a problem with that anymore.
But change the subject. Give the gingers what they deserve here. This is a real problem.
Ben's got an axe to grind.
It's a real problem, and these gingers are having terrible adulthoods because of this.
I'll stop. Fine.
There's even a ginger convention that gets put together where people can become more familiar with like being ginger.
That you have to hang around them.
Not feeling like ashamed of being ginger. And it's a safe space for gingers world over.
We've got someone on the line. Good morning.
Hello, Gareth. How are you?
Good. What's up? Who's this?
Good. Thanks. Siyabonga.
Hey, Siyabonga. Go for it.
Okay. Why didn't you feed for AM7? Don't want to go on TV.
Because I don't want a TV channel.
Oh.
Why don't you bid for it?
No.
Also, I think you're going to need quite a lot of money, hey?
Oh, okay.
I reckon it would. And remember, the whole channel's not for sale. What they're saying is that they'd like to have another channel, which means you've got to fund the whole thing from scratch. So unless ANN7 are going to go under and they're going to sell everything that they've got, and you could buy the whole operation... It'll still cost you a couple of million. Then you really have to go out and fund the thing yourself. So you need investors. To be honest, I don't know that I believe in live television.
Because I hear people touch also beat it. Maybe he has.
Maybe he has. I don't know if he has. I'm not involved in that.
Okay. And to my Mabale, I want to ask you, who's the... I know she slept with everyone. Who's the...
Let me step in here. Just watch what you're saying, all right? Don't you talk to her like that.
Who's better in sex in all those races?
Well, I mean, the big black man is my ultimate preference, obviously.
Right.
Where the gingers come
to? Is it a suit or a corsa?
Are we talking, is there any kind of tribal differentiation?
That's what we want to know.
Are we talking guys from Sierra Leone, the Congo, you know, those dark...
Yeah.
Those ebony gods.
You know what? I have a soft spot for Tswana men. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Can I taste your juice?
Okay, guys, thanks.
All right, bye. There we go. That's all he wanted. He came in with that bullshit angle on I must bid for
AN7.
He really wanted to talk to you.
And the gingers, top five?
Look, there was only one experience there, so right at the bottom.
Well, she had to think about it for a long time.
Right at the bottom.
I had forgotten about it. I had to remember it.
Bottom of the pile, gingers.
Gary says, what do you call when two gingers fight? Vortal combat. Shit, that's horrible. Right. Stop it now.
Gosh.
But how come we can still take pot shots at gingers? The rest of humanity, everybody has protectio.
But you think of this ultimate PC society we're living in. It's funny how even the gingers don't even get
No, they get no protection.
Protection in that.
There's nothing.
Absolutely astonishing,
poor
really.
Poor guys. I feel bad for them. I'm going to play you a clip just now. Apparently, Run has just landed from the USA, so we'll talk to him in 5 minutes on the phone. This guy really gets around, huh? Okay, yeah, let's talk. Balesa, let's talk to him in about 5-6 minutes. I've got to play you this clip quickly. This is amazing. One girl, she does 15 voices of singers. So take a listen to this. See if you can identify the person in question, right? And usually this song's a giveaway, but she's very good. Listen to this. Meet you downstairs in the garden herd. You roll asleep in your Scotty shirt. Who's that?
Amy.
Amy Winehouse. Correct. What do you do when... All right, next one. I'm cheating myself. She's good, right? Like I knew I would. I'm so young. Close your eyes. It's Amy Winehouse. Next one. Don't need
permission, made my decision to test my limits. Oh, that's Cause it's my business, God is my witness, Star Wars I finish. Insert generic pop star name.
Ariana Grande. Yeah, come on.
Okay.
Really? I mean, you gotta tidy up. Well, how can you not know Ariana Grande?
No, she should have picked like a more obvious song.
Alright, then this is quite obvious. Try this one now. See if this one fits your bill, Mabale and Ben. So far, we got Amy Winehouse, Ariana Grande. By the way, this girl's name is Yanina Chiesa. Chiesa.
That's an interesting name.
Isn't it?
Yanina.
That's still Ariana Grande. Hang on.
No, that's...
You don't like that?
Is that Meghan Trainor?
It's not here. Choosing
your body. Shakira. You're on the front line,
everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. Same girl, huh? Precious on freely. She's got she's got that sound right. When you forget up, if you forget up, she does this well. This is Africa, waka waka. That's actually such a stupid song.
That's for a sports tournament. What do you expect? Oh, this is Britney Spears.
Yes, this is Britney. Every time I try to fly, I
fall without my wings. I feel so small. She's good. That's Britney, correct? Alright, do you like one more? Sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
Well, it's meant to be Christina Aguilera, but she didn't start off well.
Well, she's got a bit of an accent, but if you got rid of that, the sound is great. I just gotta tell you right now that... All right, then maybe that's not the best one. Let's move on. Next one. Okay. Take you passers are the light.
You can see the world. 50 Shades of Grey.
Come on, man. Take this seriously, you two.
Meghan Trainor.
No, Ellie Goulding.
Leave Meghan Trainor alone,
yes.
Please.
Do you want to see her? I grew up overnight. I played alone, I'm playing on my own. I survived. It's amazing. Hey, yeah, I wanted everything I never had. This is good, that's Sia. Okay, then we've got Jasmine Thompson. That's the way it was, happened so naturally. I did not know it was love. The next thing I feel was you holding me close. Good. Why was I gonna... All right, how about this one? You know this voice. The
whispers in the morning. Wow, Celine. Love is sleeping
tight. I'm rolling white like the night. This is amazing. I'm blown away by this girl. In your eyes. What a talent. I hold on to your body. Can you imagine how many months she spent as a little girl just perfecting these voices? Here's another one. All right, get on with it, Celine. Who's this? You were all the things I thought I
knew. And I thought we could be. Alanis Morissette.
Avril.
Avril. Thank you, Matt. Everything that I want.
but does she do Enya?
No, it's Avril Lavigne.
Yes, but I'm saying, can she do Enya?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if Enya's in here. Christina Perry.
Are you just making up names?
I'm not. How dare you? All right, you want another one? Here's Taylor.
Make fun of our exes. It feels like a perfect night for breakfast at midnight.
Not annoying enough.
With strangers. Yeah.
Is it getting there now?
We're happy, free, confused, and lonely at the same time. It's miserable and magical. Oh yeah.
I love this. I'm so impressed by people who can do this stuff. All right, how's this one?
Buddy, by chance, you're here alone. Can I have a moment before I go?
I don't know this one.
Adele.
'Cause I'll be by myself all night long, hoping you're someone I used to know. You look like a You sound like a song.
I like that. That's very impressive. One more. Think you can handle this one?
To myself.
Oh, Selena.
No matter how hard I'm trying to.
That's pretty good, actually.
I want you all to myself.
Hey, apparently Selena Gomez has got all kind of mental health issues.
Oh, shame. That girl is...
She's really had it tough. She says people don't know how hard it is to be beautiful. Try being me, honey. Try being a troll.
Ah, shame.
Try being a monster that frightens children.
Yeah, Selena, sorry. You're not going to get a lot of support there. Sure. People don't know how hard it is to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, because the rest of us are ugly, Selena. We don't know.
I don't know. Here's a recording when I walked out of the building the other day and there was a woman standing outside. That's what she did.
Well, you know what? She keeps getting back together with that Justin Bieber.
Yep. There's the red flag.
You want to sit her down and say...
Yeah, that's your mental health issue
like,
right
there. Like, honestly.
Hey, this girl, just get back to this girl who's singing. This is fantastic. This is really good.
Your metaphorical gin and juice.
You see, I mean, we don't need all these people. We can have her. She can perform all of these songs.
Oh.
You want one more? I think she's got one more in her.
Let's rage.
I knew you were. You were gonna come to me.
And here you are.
But you better choose carefully.
'Cause I'm
capable of anything. Of anything. And everything. Make me aphrodite.
I actually think she's better than Katy Perry.
Well, yeah. I think so too.
Isn't that good? Palesa, you like that. I mean, Palesa listens to music all the time, and she knows she puts a whole lot of our music together here. I mean, that was pretty damn impressive, right? Am I right?
Yes, it was.
Fantastic. Her name is Yanina Chiesa, and she does 15 different voices. So we've got Amy Winehouse, Ariana Grande, Shakira, Britney, Christina, Ellie Goulding, Sia, Jasmine Thompson, Christina Aguilera. I've gone there, sorry. I mean, Celine Dion, Avril Lavigne, Christina Perry, Taylor Swift, Adele, Selena Gomez, Katy Perry. And those girls all have very different voices, so that's pretty damn impressive. Oh, I love that. What a talent. We got Ron? Yeah, give him a shot. Thanks, Palesa. Let's see if we can speak to Ron. By the way, that is Palesa Mabuya, who's sitting in the studio there. She controls all the podcasts, and you can give her a round of applause if your podcasts are up on time. Working hard to make things happen. So Ron's going to talk to us about cryptocurrencies. I see he's been very busy on social media lately. Is he on Skype or on the phone? On the phone. All right. Hey, Ron. How are you, dude?
Good. How are you?
Good. You just landed?
You guys just got me. I've landed after being away for a month.
Well, we've missed you, and there's lots to talk about, and I do want to get into some of it, but we'll have to see how good the phone line is. First of all, I see you've taken some kind of a wager with Vinny Lingham.
Yeah, you know, Vinny used to be called the Bitcoin Oracle, and every time he used to make a prediction, apparently it used to come true.
Mm-hmm.
But the last couple of calls that he's made, in my opinion, haven't been that good. In fact, I've kind of used him as a reverse indicator. Whatever he says, I kind of do the opposite. And it's been quite a good strategy for me.
So
he called me the other day.
Yeah.
and said that he knows, well, he believes that this is the end, well, the end, this is it, and Bitcoin is going to go down way below $8,000. And I said, Vinny, that's impossible. There's too much demand. There's too much money coming into the market. It's not going to happen. So we decided to take a bet. And yeah, the bet is that he says that by the end of March, Bitcoin will hit 8,000 or under. I say not a chance.
Yeah.
And the winner gets the title of the Bitcoin Oracle.
So, I mean, what do you really think is driving this? Because a lot of people are very concerned. I mean, when we last spoke, things were still in limbo after December. And December was a pretty awful time for a lot of people in cryptocurrencies because they saw what for them were major corrections, especially if they entered the market late. For you, of course, it's all been pretty much decent profit the whole way through because you bought in so early. But if people got involved in November, December last year, then they will feel like they've lost a lot of money. I mean, are we feeling a little more optimistic about things? It seems to have leveled out in some places.
Let's take a step back. Let's take a step back and forget about when you entered the market, just for 1 second. We'll get back to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is, what we have to do is we have to look at the fundamentals of what's happening in the market. So the first fundamental is the market went up way, way, way too quickly. We had a market where I'm going to use Bitcoin as a milestone or as a frame of reference, but Bitcoin serves as the frame of reference for all cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
The market, if you bought a Bitcoin 12 months ago, the return on your investment is about now 10 times your money. Hmm. And then if you take that and you would have bought your Bitcoin, say, slightly later, say, August, September last year, you would have made a whole lot of money, but then the whole problem is it got too overheated and too much money came in way too quickly.
Right.
And so much money came in so quickly that most of the exchanges, as you may recall, couldn't even take on clients anymore. And so what happens is we kind of experienced a correction where markets had to come back to what I'm calling reality or some kind of sanity as opposed to this hype and hysteria and euphoria. But fundamentally, nothing's changed. Fundamentally, the technology is getting better and better. The real-world applications of the blockchain are actually starting to filter in. More money is flowing into the blockchain.
Right.
More on-ramps than off-ramps. I don't know if you're familiar, but there's an app or a trading platform called Robinhood. Robinhood has over 1 million customers, and Robinhood allows for free trading. And just very recently, Robinhood introduced Bitcoin and Ethereum trading onto their platform, which is huge news. It just means that more people will be able to buy more cryptocurrencies. Last night, there was a very iconic buyout of a company called Poloniex. Now, Poloniex was one of the first and one of the biggest exchanges, crypto exchanges in the world.
Right.
And that business got bought out by a business called Circle. And Circle is a business that is backed by Goldman Sachs.
Hmm.
Now, Goldman Sachs are the same people that have spent the day looking to start a custodian desk for crypto and also came out a while back and said that they wanted to start a trading desk for crypto for their clients. So you can kind of see that everything's moving in the right direction for more money to flow into crypto. Now, the question is then, why haven't we got all this money into crypto and why isn't the market flying today? The answer is very simple. As of today, crypto is unregulated. And the problem is, you think about where most of the money is sitting.
Yeah.
Most people's money is sitting with wealth managers, with pension funds, with fund managers, with money managers. Now, those people, unfortunately today, because crypto is unregulated, probably don't have a mandate to invest in cryptocurrency.
Uh-huh.
So if you think about an Alexander Forbes or maybe even a PIC, and you say, look, they want to invest in crypto. Imagine a guy that says, I want to invest in crypto. He can't, because in the mandate of the investment mandate, there's no provision that allows them to invest in cryptocurrency.
Right.
But as soon as cryptocurrency becomes regulated, then all of a sudden they will be able to invest. Now, we know regulation is coming. South Korea is now said that they're very favorable towards cryptocurrency. Japan, very favorable towards cryptocurrency. Israel came out and said, we're actually taxing it as a capital gain, which now it gives it legitimacy. It said it's an intangible asset and we're taxing it as a capital gain. The USA, and specifically Wyoming, came out with a document that said that there is a new asset class called the utility token, described the utility token brilliantly, and almost will actually legitimize it. So it's a matter of time before it becomes regulated, And if it becomes regulated, then all the institutional money will start to be able to invest. And bang, there goes crypto for the next ride. So, yeah, there may be short-term ups and downs. But in the big scheme of things, crypto is going nowhere, and the only way is up.
Well, that sounds very good. And I think for a lot of people, that's a relief. I think many people were buoyed and maybe enthusiastic because of the fact that they saw it going up so radically over the period of the last couple of months of last year. But the smaller cryptocurrencies, which you've often spoken about, because Bitcoin obviously takes the largest share of interest here, but the smaller currencies that you've spoken about, some of them have actually done a lot better at recovering those original numbers from December. Others have done a lot worse. Is there any way we can figure out which ones and why those ones are the ones to back?
So the way I see it, what's going to happen is when the money runs away from the riskier assets first and probably runs more into the safe haven type assets. Now, I know you can't say safe haven looks like crypto, but you know, just think about this. When people get nervous, the first thing they do is they take their money out of the smaller one, and they take that money and either put it into cash or put it into what we call a cash equivalent in crypto, which is usually your Bitcoin or your Ethereum, which are your stable coins. Mm-hmm. Now, what that means is that the beta, or essentially the speed at which the currencies move, Bitcoin and Ethereum will go down slower, but will also go up slower. So what I'm calling now, my next thesis is, and I'm not taking a time frame to it, but what I'm saying is Bitcoin and Ethereum will definitely recover first, and they will recover slowly. So Bitcoin may go up 20 or 30% and get back to $13,000 or $14,000. Ethereum may go up 20 or 30% or maybe 40% and get back to $1,200 or whatever else. But when that happens, people are going to say, wow, okay, Bitcoin's run and Ethereum's run. Now we're going to take the profits that we've made from Bitcoin and Ethereum, and we're going to plow them back into the alternative coins, which are the smaller coins. Now, a small amount of money which is plowed into the alternative coins causes a very big price rise because these coins are so small. So my theory is, if you're a conservative investor, keep your money in Bitcoin and Ethereum, wait for Bitcoin and Ethereum to go up. When you get to a point where you feel like taking a bit of profit, take your profits and put them into altcoins, because the altcoins are sure to follow.
And among those altcoins, are there some areas you don't want to go? I mean, a lot of people say that some of these are fly-by-nights. There are so many new cryptocurrencies and tokens. It's very hard to figure out which ones are worth putting a slight risk into.
So, yes, one more note before we actually talk about the specific ones. I read an article on the Europlane. I haven't had a chance to read it properly because the internet was so slow. But I read an article that 700 ICOs failed last year. Meaning that 50% of the ICOs that were invested in last year actually failed. So I think my caution here is, to say that if you're going to invest into the, if you're going to be a passive investor, stick to the Bitcoin, stick to Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin. Maybe if you want to take a bit of a risk, IOTA, Cardano, those are the top 10 coins. If you know what you're doing, then what I would do is start investing in the individual coins. If you don't know what you're doing, don't play dark and start investing in the individual coins, because that's a sure way to get burned.
Right.
But if you do know what you're doing, then what I would do is I'd follow the following approach. The first thing is I would take a look at the sectors that I believe the blockchain is going to disrupt. Mm-hmm. So we know for sure banking. We know for sure insurance. We think property is going to be disrupted. We know identity is going to be disrupted. The next thing is, what I would look at is I'd look at it and say, how quickly are these industries going to be disrupted by the blockchain? That way you'll get an idea of the type of sectors that you want to be in, because you want to be in sectors that are going to be disrupted and sectors that are going to be disrupted quickly. And once you've chosen those sectors, then start to analyze the companies under those sectors. So I'll give you a perfect example. Today, when we trade when we trade cryptocurrency, we trade on centralized exchanges. Mm-hmm. Now, when you think about what is a centralized exchange, a centralized exchange is where the exchange sits between the buyer and the seller. And the exchange is actually a company which is owned by a whole lot of people, and it's a for-profit organization. Right. And essentially what happens is when you trade on a centralized exchange, you put your tokens into a centralized exchange, and the tokens sit on the centralized exchange. That's the type of exchange we're all used to. So for people that are trading on Luna, for example, in South Africa. Mm-hmm. That's a centralized exchange owned by individuals or companies. The money that the tokens live on the centralized exchange, our money sits on the centralized exchange. Now, that's a big security risk. Every time we've heard of hacks, the hacks are happening on centralized exchanges. And so one of the industries that we think is going to be disrupted by the blockchain, and specifically disrupted quite quickly, is the sector of centralized exchanges. Hmm. And they're going to be replaced by a thing called decentralized exchanges. Now, a decentralized exchange, unlike a centralized exchange, doesn't have a company or a central body sitting in the middle. I'll give it in the form of a practical example. If I want to trade 100 Ethereum and you want to buy 100 Ethereum, why do we need exchange? All we do is we program a smart contract in between us. And the smart contract says, when Gareth pays run, release the Ethereum. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you don't need an exchange in the middle. The smart contract actually replaces the centralized exchange. Now, that's one of the sectors that's being disrupted by blockchain, and it's being disrupted by blockchain now. So that's one of my favorite sectors. And within that sector, there's probably three or four tokens that one could look at. There's one called AirSwap, and the AirSwap symbol is AST.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called OmiseGo, OMG, which is a great one.
OMG.
There's one called the Kyber Network. So, again, I think the approach that people should apply is they should, if you're going to get into altcoins, you've got to do a lot of research. Identify the sectors that are going to be disrupted,
right.
Identify the speed at which they're going to be disrupted, and then identify the companies within those sectors.
Ron, we kind of running out of time here. I want to get you in properly, and we catch up on all the stuff you learned in America. But what were the highlights of your trip? Because you've been around about the world for the last month and a bit. And what have you discovered? Where have you been? A couple of conferences I saw. I saw you doing some lectures. What have you learned?
I was at the 5 conferences. I was at the Super Ethereum conference, the Super Bitcoin conference, a conference called the Satoshi Roundtable, and 2 or 3 other conferences. And in between that, I was doing a course at Harvard. So I was, a student lecturer because I was a student in the course, but I also lectured blockchain for the course. Hmm. And it was a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic experience.
Wow, it sounds amazing. I want to catch up with you properly. All right, when you have some time, let us know, and we'll organize for you to come and see us properly.
Yeah, we'll try and pop, right, I'll try and pop into the studio later this week. Sorry, I landed immediately, you should be in studio.
That's fine. I'm only too happy to speak to you. It's not a problem. Thanks so much, Ron.
Great, I think. Cool. I'll be in touch with you later today.
All right, man. There we go. Ron, he's got his own show, and you can catch that on CNBC. It's the only show about cryptocurrency. He comes and talks to us every now and then about cryptocurrency. In fact, it's regular now. It's like every 2 weeks. And he's been traveling the world trying to make head or tail of what's going on in the cryptocurrency markets. And it seems to me like he's one of the few people who can say he actually knows what the hell's happening. So if you want to know more, stick around with cliffcentral.com. Ron Neuner, thank you very much. You can find him at CryptoManRun on Twitter. It's 8 o'clock. Can you believe it? I could not believe it. So let's get to Jack Parow. I know a lot of people excited about that. I recorded this interview with Jack Parow. What was it? A week? Not even a week ago. It's like 3 or 4 days ago. 4 days ago. He came in here and we spoke. And he was full of beans. He's got lots to say. He's got an interesting career going. He's performing at gigs all over the place. But most importantly, he's also got a brand of brandy that he's just brought out. His own brandy.
That's smart.
Yeah. And not only that, he sells those caps that he's famous for. He's selling a lot of different merchandise. He's a smart guy. Jack Parow, our interview, next on cliffcentral.com. It is Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock. Here's what you need to know this morning. Uber has a new product offering. It's called Uber Blue. It's a premium service where Toyota Corollas and Nissan Almiras will have blue lights on the roof and drive really fast in traffic. The demand for this product comes on the back of a lot of entitled ex-South African ministers who now have to pay their own day-to-day transport. Look out for those. Donald Trump's getting a lot of heat over saying school teachers should be armed to prevent future school shootings. He believes every American should own a gun. Well, if their hands are big enough, his aren't. But he has loads of bodyguards to shoot people on his behalf. Can't reach the trigger. And finally, the Springboks are going to play Wales in the USA before the England series at home. SARU realized there are a few million short on revenue right now. But rather than cutting back on expenditure, they're instead going to whore their main team out for a quick payday. Let's hope it works. That's the Unnews. Coming up, Jack Parrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.